IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello and welcome to All Things Policy. I'm your host, Shri Krishna Upadhyaya. And on All Things Policy, we are doing a two-part series on digitalization of healthcare in India. In the first part, we spoke about the Ayushman Bharat digital mission and the building blocks under it. Today, we're going to be talking about a particular building block called the Unified Health Interface, or the UHI, which has the potential to be the digital public infrastructure that revolutionizes healthcare delivery in India. We'll look at the nuts and bolts of UHI, uncover its components, or look at the vision behind its inception and the collaborative effort that is driving its development and funding. Joining me today are two guests from the International Innovation Corps. First up, we have Riya Singh, project lead of Ayushman Bharat Digital Mission at the National Health Authority. Welcome back to All Things Policy, Riya.
Thanks, Shri. Very happy to be back.
And I also have with me Akhil Siddharth, who's a project associate with the National Health Authority. Welcome to All Things Policy, Akhil.
Hey, Shri. Nice to be here.
Great. So first up, I want to dig a little bit into the whole idea of building a digital public infrastructure or DPI for healthcare in the country, right? Because we have had UPI for payments, ONDC is being built for commerce. We have something called the OCEN or the Open Credit Enablement Network, which will look at credit enlargement in the country. So similarly, I want to know from you, why is there a need for building DPI for in the healthcare space and how UHI is going to come and fill this gap?
Sure, Shri. So the Ayushman Bharat Digital Health Mission has a couple of DPGs in it, catered to the healthcare space. For example, how you just raised about OCEN for credit and ONDC for commerce. There are certain different and unique problems that the healthcare sector faces. For example, a verified entity, a verified provider, or a verified facility, or a verified practitioner, right? So because the verification of that entity is very critical in healthcare compared to any other space, or also, for example, discoverability. Since we have a fragmented ecosystem in our country where each state has their own nomenclature, how can we actually bridge the gap and create an interoperable environment for different health practitioners to work across?
So that's the fact that you mentioned fragmented healthcare system is interesting, because that's true for like most markets, right? Some people even imagine the Indian economy to consist of a lot of these micro economies which are spread across, and only by building an open network that bring all these isolated platform onto a single network is going to help us scale to the population size. So does this hold true of healthcare as well? And if so, how?
So it does hold true, considering that health comes under the state list as part of our constitution. So each and every state has their own set of norms, an independent council, and also the processes, they're very, very different. And also we have a large government expenditure on healthcare and a thriving private sector. So both of them operate in very different realms. And how can we actually leverage all of this to enhance our healthcare in our country is the...
And you know... You have established why we might benefit from having a digital public infrastructure. But of course, the subject matter of today's chat is the Unified Health Interface, or the UHI, right? So let's hear from you a little bit more about UHI. What is the thought process behind it? What does it consist of? Who is driving the effort? And who is, more importantly, funding UHI in the country?
The Unified Health Interface is a core building block of the larger health stack, namely the Ayushman Bharat Digital Mission, some of which we spoke about in an earlier episode. UHI specifically is focused on enabling interoperability in the digital health services. How it's built, right? It's built as an open network. An open network, actually, a good example to understand an open network could be something like emails, how we operate today. One could use a Gmail, send an email out to an Outlook, and you know the receiver would receive it in the format that the sender would have sent it in, right? These two participants, the sender and the receiver, don't necessarily understand what's the tech running behind, right? But there's a common protocol that's been adopted, and hence this interoperability can happen. And a similar construct is now being taken into many contexts that you spoke about earlier, and now health as well. UHI is based on open protocol, which essentially shared technical standards. So it's open and accessible by all to come join the network, participate in the ecosystem. Let me talk a little bit about how that's different from how we, what's the journey that we're on, right? Today, it's a very platform-centric approach, a very centralized approach. What that means is the same platform is determining the supply as well as the demand. A user is using any health tech application to find a doctor, book a consultation, and avail that service. The only doctors that they can actually find on that application are the doctors that have been onboarded by that same application. So there's very high level of dependency on that one solution, that one platform to fulfill many aspects. And in that some sense, that can be very limiting. And it's important to acknowledge that in a country as diverse as India, no one solution, no one platform can really meet the requirements of all, especially in the healthcare context, which is why I think going back, DPI has become very important and open networks in this context can come and bridge some of that gap. Today, where we are, the National Health Authority, which is the nodal agency that is responsible for designing and implementing the Ayushman Bharat Digital Mission, is also the same body that is designing and building and now implementing the Unified Health Interface as well. The larger idea of what we want to do with UHI, right, is take the benefits of these open networks of giving an opportunity to more and more participants in the health tech ecosystem to come build on top of this DPI that's been built by the government and innovate on top of that and try and take the best user experience to the end user, whether that is a citizen trying to discover a doctor, book a test, discover a drug around them, or that's a doctor or any other healthcare professional that wants to provide any service. One of the things that we also want to focus on, right, what's the long-term game here? The idea is that we want that any doctor who is, from a provider perspective, any doctor who is eligible to provide healthcare service should be fairly discoverable, right? And your discovery should also be verifiable, because as a user, I want to know that the doctor that I'm going to seek any service from is a verified doctor. They claim to be who they are essentially, right? In this digital world that we speak of. So that doctor should become discoverable and the user should have the idea, should have the ability to discover as many options as they so choose to. Another thing is to also bring more transparency in pricing. Today, again, if you go back to a centralized format, the pricing is what you're shown by one provider, the providers on that platform is what you're limited to. But as we see more providers from different applications being visible, I think the pricing is going to start getting more competitive, right? And in the larger, so these are just a couple of benefits that we kind of aim to achieve in the long run from the Unified Health Interface. And I just want to conclude this answer that the idea of UHI is not just about discovery, but it's about the entire user journey. So it's right from the discovery of any healthcare provider, but to also then actually avail that service, make any payments, any grievances that come, and then, of course, the post-fulfillment of actually closure of that service itself, getting any prescription generated. So that kind of goes back and gets linked to my longitudinal health history, which then kind of interplays with the other building blocks of ABDM that we spoke of earlier.
Right. So I had a couple of follow-ups there. One is, so you said NHA is driving the effort. Is it also funding the effort in the sense, because, you know, for ONDC, it's a non-profit entity which is being funded by some stock exchanges and banks and some corporations. And similarly, UPI was funded mostly by banks and certain other institutions. So is NHA the sole funder, the owner, the operator of this ecosystem? This network. And secondly, you spoke about a user journey towards the end of your response. Now, if you were to tell me what are the different nodes in this network, right? So what are the different touch points for a user, for a patient who's looking for healthcare? Because these nodes are important, right? Because you'll have to leverage each of them and get them on board. So what are these different nodes that you have looked at and how are they being sort of integrated into the UHI?
I can answer the first one. So NHA as a body is running and designing end-to-end of this UHI. So if you were to call it funding, then yes, that as well. I know a lot of the open networks that you spoke of earlier are being built by an open community by a lot of entities, non-for-profit entities, for-profit entities. It's a very collaborative effort. For UHI, it is an open effort in the sense that a lot of the code is published on open platforms such as GitHub, etc. So many, many folks can come see, make suggestions if they would like to. But at the end of the day, NHA is the body that is governing it, because you do need, especially in these open networks, you need a very strong governing mechanism. And especially in the context of healthcare, like we spoke of, the nuance of healthcare is very important.
Yeah.
And about the phone, Shri, I think you were asking about what are the touch points and the different nodes in this particular network. Let me explain the terminology that we used for each endpoint here. For example, we have something called the end user application. Mostly it's the patient, or that's the patient facing application. So that can be any of, it can be a PHR application, a personal health record application, or it can be your Cred or Paytm, any fintech company, right? Any entity can actually be your patient facing app, any consumer app per se. And then you have the gateway, wherein which the gateway is where NHA is hosting UHI, wherein all these requests from the end user applications actually come to the gateway. And then you have your health service provider applications, which are the doctor facing application, or even blood banks, ambulances, because we envision UHI to be a health service exchange, right? It's not really about a teleconsultation or a physical consultation. Any health service provider, including your lab diagnostics, for example, they are catering to a health service. So they're all called as HSPAs, or health service provider applications. So now this gateway actually interacts with these health service provider applications, saying that, hey, we've got a request from so-and-so end user application. And then these HSPAs respond back saying that, yes, we can cater to your particular request or not. And then post that, all transactions happen peer-to-peer, meaning NHA or UHI gateway is data blind. So this is to ensure your privacy. So we've established your verified connection, saying that, hey, both these entities are verified by NHA. And post that, you can go beyond and not be limited by the gateway. So that's how the mechanism is envisioned.
So let's say all these players actually come onto the ecosystem, right? They're going to be onboarded once it's ready and set to go. My question is then, what is the sort of governance structure that has been envisaged for all these players, right? Because these are disparate entities. These are not, I mean, they're hospitals, they're individual doctors, there are drug stores, there could be, health insurances, applications and so on, right? So these are like multiple entities and all of them will be on this same ecosystem, right? So then that raises different kinds of questions regarding, you know, the privacy and safeguards, the data security, and overall the trust in the ecosystem itself, right? So how does that work? So what are sort of the thoughts around governance of this whole UHI infrastructure?
Sure. So then the privacy was at the core of the design when this entire architecture was designed. For example, there are two types of governance that happen. For example, you have a network level model wherein all entities in the network have to follow a set of rules. Simply, for example, we do not want any monopolistic behavior. So when a list of doctors is published by the UA, so let's say it's in a different order, right? The UA, the end user application, actually shows why it was in that particular order. For example, the user knows that this was sorted according to response speed, or for example, your nearest location. So it's pretty transparent that way. Not like wherein I think when you have search engine optimization or some kind of ad program, like how platforms behave, this is completely different from that. And also these set of rules and how the gateway behaves is actually out in the public. People can question, saying that, hey, is this fair or not? I don't think these are actually out in the open as to how certain e-commerce giants or certain banks actually do all this. So that's the network governance model wherein NHA sets the rules and everyone follows those rules. And then you have the transaction level contract. For example, because these are different entities, right? For example, you have a fintech company, maybe they want to cater to health services. And also you have a health service provider, two different companies who are operating in two different paradigms. Now, are the terms and conditions agreed upon both of them? For example, in the API itself, you can actually transfer those terms and conditions, and the user knows about these terms and conditions, then only agrees with those terms and conditions, right? So again, these terms and conditions can vary between two different participants. So that then, for example, NHA also sets those rules saying that you have to show so-and-so. For example, how are you storing your data? Have you taken the consent of the user? So while they're integrating itself, we look at their models as to how we have implemented it, and there's certain test cases that they have to pass, and we ensure that the minimum is done. And also we're making sure that we're not interfering too much because we want innovation from the market. We just want to be the facilitator and not really give them guidelines as to this is how the UI should be and this is how you should actually accept the result. That is up to the health tech player and how much they want to charge is up to them. Let the market forces come in there. But just so that we are on the same platform and every entity here can understand the language, right? Because you're talking with very, very different companies. So we're just creating that common language for them to talk.
So, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned innovation and market forces coming in because for this to take off and become very successful, like it has happened, say, in the payment space or in fintech space, because of, you know, digital architecture such as eKYC or Aadhaar-based authentication or even UPI for that matter, much of innovation has been driven by the private sector. And all of this has been enabled by, you know, soft regulation and letting people innovate on the space and allowing them space for doing that. But I have a more basic question because this, I think, became very pertinent in the context of ONDC as well. Although it has slowly started to scale up, it's still nowhere near what was initially planned, right? The idea is, you know, you wanted every player to be onboarded, every seller of any item online to be onboarded, and you had logistic partners who wanted to come in and so on. But not everything has happened the way it has, the way that it was expected to. So my question is, in that case, for UHI, what are the immediate incentives for private players to A, jump in to the ecosystem and start participating, start getting business from there? And two, to sort of scale their businesses on this sort of a model, right? And innovate and come up with new products and so on. So what are really the incentives for private players to innovate here is my question.
Sure, I can start. So the idea with open networks, right, is that you want the size of the market, the pie, to expand in itself. I think currently, not even talking about the adoption of a mission like ABDM in the larger ecosystem, but I'm talking about adoption of health tech platforms in general is fairly limited, right? So you need specific use cases. You need exciting and incentivizing use cases that are going to work for all stakeholders for them to start coming on board. And these stakeholders I'm talking about are the users of these health tech platforms, right? So it could be users, could be doctors, could be data entry operators, could be payers, so on and so forth. And those use cases is what we want to help set the foundation for these health tech participants. So just to kind of double click in the UHI context, what could that mean? Right. First is we kind of want to bring in more and more participants on the network itself, and then the network effect to kind of take place, right? Today, the kind of service offerings any platform can provide is very limited to A, their customer acquisition, whether that's from a user perspective or a doctor perspective, right? Or the kinds of services that they can offer may also be limited basis their infrastructure and their capability, because they're, again, focusing on multiple things at once, right? And or it could be something like, how do I find the right use cases to get verified doctors onto my platform, right? How do I offer better user experience, better analytics, better insights to the users that have come onto my platform? How do I help them create that longitudinal health history, get that continuum of care, build that trust in the ecosystem for all participants? And I think these are specific things that UHI solves for through, say, whether it's building out services such as, you know, teleconsultations, where we're already seeing multiple partners come in. So, for example, we have applications such as Briefcase or Pristine Care who've come on and who had a very limited user base in terms of the number of doctors and users who were onboarded, right? Now, on the provider side, we have applications such as MediBuddy or Bajaj. They've come on, so their providers have come on board. So the service offerings that these personal health record applications are offering to the users has expanded manifold. That's one. Second is also, I think, the cost of, I think, like I was giving an example earlier, onboarding of verified facilities, professionals, etc., is also now reducing when you have verified identities such as the HPR number, the HPID that we spoke of earlier, or the health facility ID as well that we spoke of earlier. And I think at the end, in my mind, the long-term game will be once all of these different moving pieces kind of come together and the network effect takes place, it'll be about who can provide the best user journeys, the best experience, the best analytics on top of it for them to come on board. And I think the ones who come on board sooner are going to get that first mover advantage. And also actually, because it's been such a collaborative process, I also want to highlight, will also help give that feedback back to NHA to be able to, for us to then tweak our designs, tweak our workflows, tweak our recommendations and policies accordingly, because we also want that feedback back from the market and design for them.
Adding to that, Sri, if I can encapsulate what we've done here, is that you've unbundled the patient-facing application and the health service provider application, right? For example, you didn't need to be both. Some particular companies are very consumer-centric. Maybe they want to acquire customers. For example, a phone pay, if I can take. There's a lot of high traffic, and maybe their forte is with more with the customers and not really with the health service providers. And there are certain companies like a Bajaj Health or a MediBuddy, certain TPAs, let's say, where they know everything about healthcare. They're working very closely with the healthcare provider. And these two entities are good at what they do. Now, can we create a common platform wherein both of them can connect with each other and they can operate in different realms, right? So they can innovate on top of that. I mean, let me give you a small use case. I mean, in UPI, there is no money in UPI technically to be made, but it's just that UPI attracts the customer and then you build use cases on top of that. Similarly, in UHI, what we envision is that UHI will give that value proposition to your customer, just pull them into the ecosystem, and then maybe you want to build over that.
Stay tuned to All Things Policy. We'll be right back after a short commercial break. Akhil, so a question on that, actually, since you brought up the fact that UPI costs nothing, that's also because one of the reasons why there was such widespread uptake and adoption of UPI is it's being subsidized, right? RBI has mandated that you cannot charge for providing UPI services. Of course, there are transaction limits. You can't pay more than 1 lakh per day and so on. But essentially, it's free. It's free for the consumer and it's free for the payment gateway service provider. And somebody else entity is subsidizing the whole cost of it. And that actually enabled it to kick off so widely. So in terms of UHI, what would be like the costing structure? Would there be subsidies in terms of incentivizing early adopters, or would you have cashback coupons like ONDC is offering on, completing certain deliveries and so on, just as incentives to attract players on board this ecosystem? And second thing, I had an observation on what Ria mentioned, which is UHI is about increasing the pool. And I think that's a bit of a reality check for healthcare in the country, because unlike payments, where there is so much happening, so much payments, transactions happening between people in the real world, it just had to shift online. A part of it had to shift online. But for healthcare, it's very different. It's not simply shifting some of them online. You actually need increased capacity, more hospitals and more doctors. And I know that's not something that UHI is going to solve per se, because we need wider investment by private and public sector and so on. But that's just an observation which came to my mind.
Sure, Shreez, regarding the funding bit and how you do user acquisition here. Yes, there is money involved in this exchange, but where NHA comes in is that NHA's primary cost is to host the gateway, right? As far as cloud bills are concerned. But apart from that, NHA to encourage these certain providers who are early adopters in this ecosystem has a health incentive scheme for health tech providers, for doctors. Based on there is a base limit post which for every transaction that you've done, there's a nominal amount that the government is willing to pay just so that you're in the ecosystem and there's an additional benefit for you to be here. Apart from that, there was a short pilot that was done wherein NHA did subsidize the provider cost, wherein UHI as a network can get in feedback. But to scale, I believe it's only going to be the market forces which will rule. And since there's so much visibility and you know clearly that a doctor at a place is more expensive than this particular doctor, and let's say they have the same credentials, you clearly are aligned towards taking that particular doctor, right? So just that the visibility that you've created and also the different health tech players and their costing models are so different as to how they want to monetize it. So we want markets to come in and innovate in this place. And so, because we believe that the doctor and the health tech providers will actually do something so that they can attract the patient. How they would do it, we want to leave it to their creativity, but we want to facilitate that from happening. And unless if there's a fraud happening, we want to come in and actually stop there. But apart from that, if all the rules of the games are played, please go ahead.
I'm glad you mentioned the pilot, because that also brings to my mind the sandbox that has been launched recently by NHA, right? Sandbox is essentially a closed environment where players can come and innovate, and they basically are off without any consequences and no liability and so on. So many regulators in India have tried sandboxes for multiple applications, and some of which have been successful, some of which have not. So how is this sandbox launched by NHA faring? What's happening there? What kind of innovations are you preview to? Are you allowed to answer, or is there some confidentiality? So what's up with that?
No. Actually, happy to share information on this. So there are multiple gateways that NHA is kind of hosting and running as part of the health stack. To test and integrate with these the APIs that are offered, there's a sandbox environment for each of these. So one of the sandboxes that is also offered by NHA is for the UHI integration specifically. And I'll kind of deep dive into that and not touch the other two at this point in time. This has been out and available to integrators to come test their products on for closed since June of last year, June of 2023. And we actually rolled off this pilot with teleconsultation as a service first. We got on board select few integrators who were interested, who were far well in their EBDM integration journeys at large, and try to test out how will teleconsultation as a service work on the network. And these folks, they've come, they've integrated with our APIs, they've built newer things on top to kind of give a better experience to their, whether it's the user from a PHR application standpoint or the doctor from the health service provider application standpoint. And it's been live since, right? They're all now working in production, and we're seeing a number of transactions come about. We've gotten some feedback from users, which is kind of an iterative process for us to kind of enhance our own designs and systems. And we're working with a lot more partners now, because now we've gotten this feedback. We've had some testing period that we have multiple partners now who are in the pipeline, who are in the sandbox currently, testing out again. And not just for teleconsultation, actually, as we expand the pool of services to, things like booking a physical consultation, booking a lab diagnostic test, discovering a drug, buying a drug, discovering an ambulance even, right? So there are many, many such use cases that are going to get rolled out in the future. And we'll see more and more innovators come, integrate, and take it to their users.
Adding to that, I think whenever we see innovation, people generally think it's only the private integrator, but we have government integrators also. For example, the CDAC and NICs, which actually build software for government institutions in the healthcare context. They're also very closely involved with NHA in all the activities done here. So there is innovation happening inside government too.
Right, that's always a good thing to hear, and not often that we get to hear. So this other question I had was, you mentioned something about using LLMs upon the data that is being generated on this ecosystem and trying to come up with the innovative solutions to plug the gap, right? So just furthering that thought, we have a bunch of emerging technology like AI, blockchain, and so on. So do you see that playing a role in UHI, and how is it going to help in the future? What's going to happen in that space?
Sure, Sri. So we see a lot of innovation happening, and we've actually come across few partners who are using cutting edge foundational models in transcription or voice to text or text to speech. So for example, right, let's say you want to discover a service. People think it's all about your smartphone and there's a touch point, there's a physical touch point. Why does it have to be a button? You can have multimodal, right? For example, you can do something with a voice, or for example, one of the use cases that we envisioned was, we have a lot of variables, and maybe your variable has detected that you have a certain issue and maybe you should look at the doctor. So what the variable is connected to your smartphone, and your smartphone, since if you have a UHI enabled application, your smartphone can automatically search for a doctor and actually suggest saying that, hey, for your certain health condition, we believe that you can actually book a doctor and the doctor is available right away. So we're looking at use cases like that. And on the provider side, an interesting use case that we saw was, for example, transcription, the, tra- the medical transcription industry is actually getting disrupted. For example, maybe the doctor is providing instructions orally. Why should the doctor actually write the prescription? Maybe they wanted to get it orally done and then you have a prescription and it's linked. So you've actually created a pretty easy flow for the doctor to digitize health records.
Yeah. You know, moving away from use cases and just thinking of general policy around healthcare in the country as well. And when I was looking up UHI and all, I found a research paper which made this point that UHI will facilitate in availing accurate and comprehensive data on healthcare in India, which can be used to inform policy and healthcare outcomes generally. And I think that can actually be a very good positive outcomes of having a UHI infrastructure in the place, because finally we'll have real-time concrete information, right? Just a dashboard which tells you what are the kind of health problems that the country, the people of the country are facing, where are the gaps, what are the loopholes, and so on. So if you were to take a shot at this, you know, what kind of sort of public policy intervention in healthcare can actually be determined using the data that comes through a UHI kind of a system?
So I just want to also set some context that I think in the larger vision for EBDM, I think at some point in the future, we're perhaps not there yet because we're, again, 2 years into the mission, right? So there's a long way to go. There is some thinking around how do we leverage anonymized, aggregated data to inform this policy making, this decision making for research purposes, so on and so forth. And all the three gateways that exist in the stack, right, whether for interoperability of health data, services, claims processing, all of them are data blind, but they do capture a lot of metadata of the kind of data that's been transacted. And I think at some point, as in when the mission reaches that stage, and NHA reaches that stage, in terms of developing technology to be able to then use that data, make data sets out of that. You know, for example, it could be, are we seeing a lot of particular disease outbreak in a certain region, right? Or we're seeing a rise of NCDs in a particular, again, a time zone or for an age group or so on and so forth. I think a lot of that kind of aggregated data can then feed into decision making and as well as implementation as well, I think, when we go to it. From both at a central as well as a state level. That's a more step back view that I have on this.
Right. Yeah, I particularly am of the opinion that this is going to shine a lot of light into problems which may have been undiscovered earlier or at least partly discovered, or obviously still, you know, looking for solutions. So like you said, disaggregated data sets of healthcare is going to play a major role few years down the line. And that's where that actually brings me to my final question for both of you. And I would love to hear your thoughts, Rhea and Akhil, is that, you know, you said you're two years into the mission, right? So what is going to happen next, right? What does UHI hold for the country in terms of its healthcare, say for the next short term, medium term, long term, you know, 1 year, 5 year, 10 years. So how does that timeline look? And what do you think is going to be the different milestones over this period?
So Shri, to be very honest, in the short term, it is going to be hard. I think at this scale, digitization of health has not occurred. For example, even in Western countries with all the funding, we know their health systems are as broken as ever. And if I think the bet that everyone's taking here is that if it can succeed in India, it's going to succeed in any of your low and medium income countries because you've done it for scale already. So all these learnings will actually be accumulated and sort of, you know, these mistakes or any sort of learning that is there in this ecosystem can be applied to your other countries, and it can potentially be our export. For example, let's say a Cuba or a Philippines actually exports a lot of their healthcare professionals, right? Considering if our country digitizes, maybe with verified entities, we can actually export our healthcare services across. That's something that we envision. Apart from that, I think the entire ABDM mission is about creating longitude in health history, which helps in a plethora of items. Right? For example, you don't want to carry your health records and go everywhere. Or you want these data sets wherein you have great policy insights for happening. So in the long term, I believe that we'll reach there. I think in the next 5 years, this will touch every single Indian in one way or the other, wherein they benefit from this public good.
In my opinion, I think what things like UPI and Aadhaar did was build a lot of trust in a lot of these digital initiatives that the government has been taking. And I think that's really gotten the private sector very excited and very eager to partake and collaborate with the government. And we're seeing some of the ripple effects happen in health, in agriculture, in commerce, so on and so forth. So I think first is that. I think the fact that the government is building and supporting something like this at population scale in itself is starting a lot of conversation about for newer players to come into the market, is kind of reigniting the hope in some of the existing players who've been around for a while but have struggled to become profitable, especially in the health tech context. So I think that is a bringing together more people into this conversation. And I think that's going to fuel more innovation, more use cases for the users. And I think that itself will have a very direct impact on the way everybody accesses healthcare in general, right? That's one. Second is, I think something like, and I think an open network like UHI, I think a key objective in the long term is also to bring about more transparency. Transparency in verified entities, transparency in pricing, transparency in specialties, in accessibility, inclusivity. I think all of these things will kind of come in and I think offer a much better experience to anybody participating here. And I think what Akhil was mentioning, I think all of this eventually leading up to, I think, offering a more comprehensive healthcare journey, I think, to everybody, to kind of empower the user with their data, with what they can do with their data and how they can make the decisions of their own healthcare journeys, I think, which usually has not been the case in our country. And lastly, I think, which is a thought for the future, which we often discuss, right? What's the future of so many open networks existing together? I think something like UHI in health context, or you have other open networks existing in payments, in credit, financial services, commerce, I think how they all will kind of come together and I think offer a more integrated experience to citizens at large in various aspects of life. I think I'm very excited to see how that unfolds in the long run.
Yeah. All right. So we've had a fascinating discussion over two episodes, you know, beginning with the Ayushman Bharat Digital Mission and concluding with the UHI today. And, you know, just to quickly sum up what we have gone through over the couple of episodes is basically this. The government has launched the Ayushman Bharat Digital Mission, or the ABDM, to build the digital public infrastructure for healthcare in the country. So it has multiple components like the Abha card for individuals, the health facilities registry, the health professionals registry, there's a drug registry, there's also the health claims exchange, which is going to standardize insurance claim settlements in the country. And of course, we also have the Unified Healthcare Interface, or UHI, that we spoke at length about today. UHI is going to be the open network for healthcare, where patient healthcare service providers, health tech companies, maybe even newer kinds of startups are going to play an important role in comprehensively changing the healthcare journey of patients in the country. Of course, this is going to throw up new risks, new privacy and security risks, but that is being sort of mitigated in this system, in this infrastructure that is already being built. And I presume it will require continuous policy monitoring and interventions in the future. But rest assured, this provides this new ecosystem, this digital ecosystem that is coming up in healthcare, is going to change the way Indians are going to experience healthcare. Just like how UPI probably changed the way how we pay for our daily needs. So thank you so much, Riya. Thank you, Akhil, for appearing on All Things Policy with me today and taking us through this. And we hope that you'll be back again soon to talk more about NHA and the Ayushman Bharat Digital Mission and UHI, so that we can take a stock how it looks, months or years later. So thanks once again, and happy to have had you today.
Thanks, Shri. It's been a blast.
Thanks, Shri.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website takshashila.org.in.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week. Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.